If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I'm Kirk Herbstreit, and today I'm eating Raising Cane's.
I want a solid bench of four chicken fingers, crinkle cut fries with Texas toast. Now back to you, Todd.
So the usual.
Make Raising Cane's part of your game day lineup.
Wake up, Lincoln.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's great to stay up late.
It's time for Early Break, presented by NEBCO. Live from Lincoln, America. Here's 93.7 The Ticket's Jake Sorensen.
I like Stone.
Husker Online, Steve Sipple.
And here comes a sandwich from God.
And longtime college football assistant coach, Bill Bush.
Hey, somebody grab me a mocha quick, would you?
This is Early Break.
Welcome back to Hour 3 on a Friday. Steve Sipple, Jake Sorensen, Bill Bush on Early Break. Third hour is always sponsored by our friends at NEBCO.
NEBCO!
Now hiring at Concrete Industries for precast production laborers. Check them out at concreteindustries.com or at NEBCOinc.com. Shout out to Easton, stopped by with his mom. Our second trick-or-treater this morning.
Yes. Was it Chelsea?
Yes, Chelsea. You got
she
that.
She listens every day.
Yes.
Listens every day. She came back and got a photo and then... He's got a bonus candy bar.
You gave him another one.
Yes, he came out with two full size candy bars.
Good, and he was all smiles.
Yes, he was fired up. Yes, he's going as a fireman tonight.
Yes,
he is.
Being a full fireman outfit.
God, that was nice of her. They scurried in.
Yes,
and we appreciate that.
Well, we are joined by someone from the West Coast. That is Ryan Abraham, the owner and publisher of USCFootball.com. Ryan, good morning. It is early out there. It's 6:15. Are you awake? Are you with us, Ryan?
I'm awake.
All right.
A little bit sluggish. I'm not going to lie. I had a couple of drinks last night. I played golf yesterday. I had my first ever hole in one.
Oh, whoa.
This is incredible radio.
What? Hole in one?
Honest to God, yeah. Sky Lakes Golf Course in Long Beach. 135-yard par 3. I hit a 7-iron, boom, and just started rolling, and we just see the ball disappear, and we just went crazy. I've never had one in my life. It was I wasn't even playing well that day, but somehow I got a hold of one. It was insane. So I had a couple of drinks last night, but I'm okay. I'm up early talking some USC football with you guys. Well,
congratulations on the hole-in-one.
This might be a favorite guest ever, because we've never had a guest that's ever had a hole-in-one the day before.
No.
And then, yeah, so winner, winner. Thank you so much.
In the Long Beach
yes. area. Now, we got to ask you, right? Are you making the trek out to Lincoln? If so, when do you leave if you're coming to the game?
I do, yeah. My flight's at like noonish.
Okay.
Coming from here, so head to Omaha and then be at Lincoln tomorrow, and it should be a lot of fun. I can't wait. I went out in 2007, back in the day, but it's been a while since I've been there, so it should be a lot of fun.
That is awesome. Thank you so much for being on the show. Quick question here, Bill Bush, 93.7 The Ticket. Just give us what is the vibe of USC right now? They're on a bye week. Just what is the general vibe with Lincoln Riley, the team? Just tell us what's going on there and what it feels like there in Los Angeles with USC football.
Yeah, it's a little mixed. I think going into the Illinois game, I think there was a lot of confidence, and USC didn't play that well and end up losing that game. Going into the bye week, I think they felt like, okay, we can get things right, and they had Michigan in the Coliseum and played really well. I think the whole soft narrative and USC got pushed around by the Illini, it changed a little bit when they were able to push Michigan around, and I think they had a lot of confidence. But then it sort of went away when you go to Notre Dame and they run for 306 yards on you. And I feel like now coming out of this bye week, I'm not sure, because they got right, but then they went kind of reverted back. And I think this is there's a lot of focus on this game, because under Lincoln Riley, USC hasn't played very well on the road, and I think there's just to get into this game and try to get things right and play well away from the Coliseum. They played well in the in Las Vegas, last year, a couple of games, but can you travel multiple time zones, get on an airplane, and actually play well. You know, they beat Purdue earlier in the year, but they didn't play that well in that game. So I think there's a lot of focus on this one. It's a little bit mixed. They're not. I think USC fans are not sure what to expect, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, they need to get on the road and play well. That's just something that hasn't happened under the last couple of years under Lincoln Riley.
Ryan Abraham joins us, owner publisher of USCFootball.com. Now, the talk here, Ryan, is Nebraska's path to victory runs through Emmett Johnson, the running back, number 21, the second leading rusher in the Big Ten. What is the run defense like for USC? How would you characterize it? What's it looked like throughout the course of the season?
You know, it's been pretty good until we saw what Jeremiah Love did against USC 2 weeks ago. And, you know, he set a record. You know, no Notre Dame player in Notre Dame Stadium had run for more yards than Love did, which is kind of crazy. You know, it was a historic night for him. And like I mentioned, 306 yards on the ground isn't what you're looking for. And for me, if Nebraska goes in and win this game, I think Emmett Johnson could be the guy. But, you know, Dylan Raiola, I know he's dumping the ball off and there's a lot of short passes, but USC's played off in the secondary quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think you could see him have some success sort of underneath and guys, you know, maybe break a tackle and go for bigger yardage. So I think for, you know, I'm not sure where, if Nebraska has a lot of success, it could be Emmett Johnson for sure, but Raiola is completing more than 72% of his passes. He could have some success short with USC playing off. And so I'm really curious to see where USC's defense sort of comes into this one. They tried to play three linebackers against Notre Dame, and that worked really well against Michigan. They shut that down.
Uh-huh.
But against Notre Dame, it really did not work that well. They had to play more nickel, and they actually had more success doing that. So I'm curious to see how this defense responds, because it, you know, the last game, all levels, I don't think played very well. They played good against Michigan, but certainly not against Notre Dame. And, you know, how do they go on the road and play against Nebraska, which, you know, Raiola can beat you, and I think Emmett Johnson can as well.
Now, speaking of the road, Ryan, we've heard some stats that it's not been kind to USC. Is it 1-8 crossing the two time zones? Is that right, Ryan? What's the stat there for USC?
Yeah, exactly right. And, you know, they beat Purdue. They didn't cover the spread, and they kicked a lot of field goals in that game. They needed that win earlier in the year. Like, you know, you get on a plane, Indianapolis, or drive to, you know, it West Lafayette, but it's one of those things where they just haven't played well when you've had to travel. And most of the time it's been at Notre Dame. They haven't beat Notre Dame, you know, in South Bend since 2011. So, yeah, this would be the biggest road win in a while for USC, traveling multiple time zones. You know, Purdue, that was fine, but, you know, last year the only Big Ten road win they had was at UCLA, and that's taking a bus. So I wouldn't say, you know, that this Purdue was the first real one, but I think this would, you know, really be the first real win they've had on the road in the Big Ten if they can win at Nebraska.
Two questions. Quick one first. Did USC, the football team, did they travel normal, which is going to be today, or did they come out on Thursday because they had the bye week? Were they able to leave it? Sometimes people leave a day earlier for a longer trip. Do you know what their travel was for the team?
Yeah, my understanding is today. They've been a little secretive about that. The Illinois game is the one they went out a day early because it was a 9 a.m. It was a noon, you know, 9 a.m. Yeah. Pacific time, noon kickoff. But my belief is they're going today. And that's Lincoln Riley's just believe, you know, they've kind of used the NFL model traveling east where they're going to go the day before. So that, my understanding is they're going today.
Gotcha. Next question. Nebraska obviously has this is a huge buildup game for them. So they've called for a blackout, which is, they've changed the uniforms, they've changed the field, and then also there's been a big hoping and praying for cold weather. How does that affect USC? Whereas the attention to this game has been remarkable. This blackout has been a remarkable story, and then they're also with the cold weather. How are they deal with it? You think it's an issue?
No, I think it certainly could be. I'm not sure exactly what USC's issues have been on the road. There have always been some weird circumstances. Purdue, you had like a three-hour lightning delay. Notre Dame, you know, a lot of rain, and they thought there would be some kind of lightning, and we saw, you know, similar stuff at Illinois. I think a lot of the guys got food poisoning. There just always seemed to be something, but like Halloween weekend, I remember going up to Oregon State, you know, in Corvallis. I think Mark Sanchez was the quarterback, like Halloween weekend, and all the Beavers fans storm the field when they beat USC. Like, weird stuff could happen on the road, but it's going to be a blackout if it's below freezing. We haven't seen USC play really in those kind of circumstances. They've had their road schedule in the Big Ten so far has been somewhat favorable as far as weather goes. Rain and lightning and things could happen, but I don't think we've seen them play in like 30-degree weather before. So that could be interesting too with the blackout and everything. I'm not expecting USC to play well on the road. I don't know what it is, but they just haven't done that. And if some weird circumstances, like it's below freezing and everyone's in black and stuff. So, yeah, who knows? I mean, anything could happen in this one for me.
Just an update, Ryan. Game temperature, 44 degrees. It will get down to, by the end of the game, about 38.
It's really not
freezing, but
really
upper 30s, low
40s. Kind of football weather, really. Yeah. Not really, I guess, for USC football weather. It's a little nicer out there, but 72 and sunny.
Not really too bad. Now, this is the number one ranked offense in America, USC. The number one ranked passing offense. They're averaging 42.4 points a game. I don't, at the risk of sounding juvenile, what should Nebraska most beware of? What's the most daunting part of this offense?
Well, first of all, 38, you can't say not too bad in 38 degrees. That's not going to work for Southern California.
Really? California. I get it.
I'm originally from Massachusetts. I've been in snow and stuff, but that would be freezing for me. So we'll see what goes on. But
oh, my bad.
I think if you, yeah, no problem. But if you go look at USC, I think they've been a lot more balanced this year, and they didn't run the ball well against Notre Dame. Their top two running backs were out, Wayman Jordan and Eli Sanders. So I think Lincoln Riley's really tried to – it's more of like a you pass the ball and set up the run.
Okay.
But Jaden Maiava has been really special this year. His first start came against Nebraska last year in the Coliseum. And if you look at yards per attempt, he's the only quarterback in the country that's over 10 yards per attempt. I think he's really been he's just effective throwing the ball down the field, finding, you know, Mekhi Lemon and Jacoby Lane. They've done a really nice job with that. But they have to be complementary. And I think the offense sputtered a little bit against Notre Dame 2 weeks ago when they weren't really able to run the ball. He could still make some big plays through the air, but I think they need to be a more balanced attack. And, you know, King Miller's a walk-on running back. He's their starting running back right now. So he'd be going into the Notre Dame game, he was averaging over 10 yards a carry. He came back down to earth with the Fighting Irish in that defense. So I think you got to look for this USC offense to be balanced. But to me, it's more of a they pass well and they kind of set up the run off of that.
Hey, guys, Jake Sorensen. Hair loss is not just about hair. It's about how you feel when you look in the mirror. Hims helps you take back that confidence with access to simple, personalized care that fits your life. Hims offers convenient access to a range of prescription hair loss treatments with ingredients that work, including chews, oral medications, serums, and sprays. There's no hidden fees, no surprise costs, just real, personalized care on your schedule. Think of Hims as your digital front door that gets you back to your old self with simple 100% online access to trusted treatments for real health concerns all in one place. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit Hims.com/earlybreak. That's Hims.com/earlybreak for your free online visit. Hims.com/earlybreak. Individual results may vary based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Featured products include compounded drug products, which the FDA does not approve or verify for safety, effectiveness, or quality. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information. Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. The holidays sneak up fast, but it's not too early to get your shopping done and actually have fun with it. Uncommon Goods makes holiday shopping stress-free and joyful with thousands of one-of-a-kind gifts you can't find anywhere else. Uncommon Goods is something for everyone, from moms and dads to kids and teens, from book lovers, history buffs, and diehard football fans to foodies, mixologists, and avid gardeners. You'll find thousands of new gift ideas that you won't find anywhere else. When you shop at Uncommon Goods, you're supporting artists and small, independent businesses. Many of their handcrafted products are made in small batches, so shop now before they sell out this holiday season. And with every purchase you make at Uncommon Goods, they give back $1 to a nonprofit partner of your choice. They've donated more than $3 million to date. So shop early, have fun, and cross some names off your list today. To get 15% off your next gift, go to uncommongoods.com/earlybreak. That's uncommongoods.com/earlybreak for 15% off. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Uncommon Goods, we're all out of the ordinary. Hey guys, it's Jake Sorensen. This holiday season, what does comfort look like for you?
Is it giving family and friends a restful night's sleep so they can wake up refreshed for the holiday traditions? Is it sharing cozy mornings with the people you love? Or is it slowing down and finding calm amid the chaos? This year, you can create your natural holiday oasis with Avocado Green Mattresses, which helps transform your home into a peaceful, grounding retreat made with certified organic and sustainably sourced materials. From breathable bedding to handcrafted mattresses, Avocado is all about true comfort. You can rest, recharge, and wake up refreshed all season long. Are you hosting some loved ones? Avocado helps you create a warm, inviting home where everyone sleeps well and feels cared for. Prioritize rest and recharge with Avocado's organic comfort. Head to avocadogreenmattress.com today to create your natural oasis and save big during their holiday sale. Avocado, dream of better.
I'm curious, Ryan. Now, you said you were here in 2007 for the game when USC, you know,
took care
of Nebraska. They played in 06. Well, they had just won their last title in 2004. If I took you back to 07 and I said there's no titles at all in the next, you know, 20 plus years, would you believe that back then, Ryan, for USC?
No, yeah. I mean, the way they were rolling, I think they went to like 7 straight BCS bowl games, and you felt like they were this close. And no, if they had playoffs back then, I think Pete Carroll probably would have won another title or something. But you would always stub your toe, like I mentioned, going up to Corvallis or whatever and losing a game up there. It just seemed like he would lose one of those head-scratching games and then, you know, win a bunch of other ones and some big ones. So, yeah, that it's hard to imagine. But, you know, trying to replace a legend like Pete Carroll, they just sort of bumbled, and USC's administration was pretty bad. I like where they're the direction they're going now. I think Jim Cohen, who came down from Washington, is doing a really good job and trying to, you know, put Lincoln Riley in a great position to win. But the fan base, you know, I think Nebraska is similar. Like, you're itching for some of the success you've had in the past. And, you know, this year it's not been great, but they still, you know, I think both teams with only 2 losses, you can still make a run and have some, you know, make some noise in the Big Ten. But this is a very pivotal game to try and make that go in your, you know, the right direction.
You know, you almost have to ask this question in a year like this with the coaching carousel spinning madly. If USC were to lose this game and drop to 5-3, does it get uncomfortable for Lincoln Riley?
Yeah, I mean, it's so funny to talk about that because you went out, you're 10-2, and you're like in the college football playoff, but you lose this game, and I think you could be staring 7-5 in the face. You know, you have, you know, Iowa looks really good right now. Even Northwestern, you know, winning some games. UCLA is resurgent, and you got to go on the road to Oregon. If you can't beat Nebraska on the road, it seems very difficult if you're going to try to go to Eugene and get a win there. So I said the beginning of the season, this could be the barometer game for USC. Like, you know, they play Illinois on the road, Notre Dame, and Oregon. All those teams you knew were ranked and you're going to be good. And I thought Nebraska could be pretty good this year. And, you know, they've been a good team. Can you go on the road and get the win? And I didn't expect USC to have an elite offense, and they really do. I think that's going to be the best unit on the field on Saturday. But their defense took a step back, and they've just been kind of disappointing after year one under Danton Lynn, where they thought they were really good. So, yeah, I think this could be one of those pivotal games. And if they lose this one, you want another season of a 6-6 or 7-5 if you're Lincoln Riley in your fourth year getting paid $11 million a year. So there's going to be some tough conversations. Probably not the year you want to replace your head coach if you're like a blue blood program. But I think it could get a little uncomfortable if USC loses this one. And the record's going to be one of those questionable things. You're like, how can you be in year four and go 7-5 or whatever with your high profile, highly paid head coach? Yeah, I think it could get a little uncomfortable at USC.
Ryan, question, you've obviously from following Lincoln Riley in every game, tell us what we might look for coming off a bye. So he's had an extra time to prepare. What is generally happens with a Lincoln Riley team off of a bye, and what might be some little tweaks that could show up?
Yeah, he's been really good, actually, covering a loss going into the bye week. I think they're 4-0 or 5-0 or something like that. Overall, they played their best game, to me, all around against Michigan at home after that loss to Illinois. And I think, you know, they made Luke Altmaier look like a Heisman Trophy kind of candidate, and just they did not play well in Champaign. And then you get a bye week. That was a home game, though. This is going to be, can you bounce back from that on the road? And, you know, that was only a few weeks ago. And I think the USC felt like they fixed some things, and they came out and played well at home against Michigan. Can you bounce back and then have a disappointing loss the next week, which they did against a rival? They just didn't look like they were prepared to play at Notre Dame. So to me, yeah, Lincoln Riley's done a good job coming out of bye weeks, but you just sort of had that reset, that bounce back just a few weeks ago, and then you disappointed the week afterwards. Can you bounce back again having these kind of close bye weeks, which are a little strange to only have two games between your bye weeks, but I'm curious to see how they come out and play, because I think this team is really good on the, especially on the offensive side. They've been good on special teams, even though they gave up a kickoff return for a touchdown against the Irish. Can you bounce back and play well? It's hard to do that after bouncing back just a couple weeks ago. So I'm curious to see what they do. He's been good after bye weeks, but this is a little different situation that the bye week's close. And you're coming off a bye week and going on the road again.
Ryan Abraham joins us. And I want to drill down a little bit more on their best receiver, Mekhi Lemon, number six. Number six is very important. He has 48 catches. The next receiver has 20. The next highest receiver has 24. Mekhi Lemon's striking to me because he doesn't overwhelm you as he trots out on the field at 5'11", 195. What is it about Mekhi Lemon? Why is he far and away their best offensive player?
He definitely is, and I think if you watch his game and if you've seen USC players in the past, like an Amon-Ra St. Brown is, I think, a good comp for him. He's had a lot of success for the Detroit Lions, and he was great at USC, and I think you're seeing the same kind of thing from Mekhi Lemon. Yeah, where he finds openings, you know, if it's a zone defense or whatever, he knows where to sit down and make himself a really easy target to find if you're the quarterback. And just if it's an 8-yard pass, you watch his feet after he catches the ball and just does some crazy stuff. You're like, how did he do that and make guys miss? And he can, you know, take an 8-yard pass and turn it into a 75-yard touchdown. So I think he's a quarterback's friend just by not the biggest target in the world, like a Jacoby Lane, who just looks, he's got a catch radius that's crazy.
Right.
But he finds open space in the secondary. And I think once he catches the ball, he can make some magic happen too. So he's been USC's best offensive player, and they rely on him a lot.
Ryan, 28 straight losses for Nebraska to ranked teams, but you mentioned the USC struggles in the cold and on the road across two time zones. So they're 6.5-point favorites. Do you think USC gets the win? What's your prediction for Saturday?
Yeah, that's a tough one because Nebraska, we've seen struggle against ranked teams. USC's been bad covering spreads on the road, too. Now, they got the cover, technically, against Notre Dame, but that was like a 9.5-point spread that switched to 10.5, like, that day. So I don't even count that as a cover. They didn't cover against Purdue. Last year, they were on the road as favorites, and they kept losing games. So I'm not sure which way this is going to go, but for me, until I see USC go on the road and play well, I would take Nebraska in the 6.5. I think USC can win like a field goal kind of game, like a 34-31, something like that. But I wouldn't take USC to cover this one. They just haven't done well on the road like this, and it's a really important game for both teams to me. So USC needed to win against Nebraska. I mean, against Michigan, and played well and did it. Can they do it again? I'm not sure. We'll see.
Well, Ryan, number one, congrats again on the hole-in-one. That's awesome.
Oh, last night. That was one of the best openings ever.
Yeah.
I'm a little groggy. I had some drinks last night because I had a hole-in-one.
Enjoy your trip to Lincoln, and we will chat with you here soon, Ryan.
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You bet. That's Ryan Abraham, owner and publisher of USCFootball.com on Twitter/X at Inside Troy.
Great information.
Rudy.
Rudy's killing.
Rudy again.
Rudy, good job.
Like the ultimate manager. He's just bringing talent in.
Like a recruiting
coordinator. Rudy should be taking some more candy for that one.
So he was
very
interested that he's that the weather he believes is a factor.
Yeah. In favor of Nebraska.
Right.
It's good for Nebraska.
It's not particularly bad weather.
I'm just making sure.
Making sure.
Not particularly bad weather.
No.
38 degrees. He's like, that's freezing.
We have one. We have another.
Come on in.
Look at the little fella.
Make safety handle that?
Yep.
Oh, safety. I can't see. I have him on screen. He's gone. He's a witch.
Yes. But anyway, the weather is a factor in this guy's mind. It's interesting. It's not going to be bad. 38's not bad.
The thing that he nailed, that there was two things that will come up, I think, schematic-wise. It'd be interesting because they have talent on defense. They can match up some in man coverage, but they don't do that. They're a very bend but don't break defense. That's what they are.
Josh
is here.
What is Josh doing?
Is doing here? All of a sudden,
what's happening right now?
Everything's good.
Incredible bend but don't break. They don't challenge much. They're very very generic. And if you remember, when was it? The day was it Tuesday when Butler talked?
Tuesday.
Yeah. And if you should catch that little clip in there, where he talked about how he was going to call the game. That was my hypothesis was that in the Minnesota game it was. Remember, we got spooked. They hit the long run. Mm-hmm. We played at that.
He went vanilla.
I don't think myself that if Nebraska plays just vanilla against a quarterback like Maiva and some of the skill guys they have, that's an advantage USC.
Okay.
So I anticipate a more aggressive style out of Nebraska.
Joe Exotic.
I expect a little bit more exotic out of them, mm-hmm. which can be a little bit hit and miss, but I expect to see that different. And it'd be interesting to see what USC does, because the first thing I thought of was what he hit on is that they're very generic, and they bend but don't break. They're not very aggressive. Mm-hmm. So we'll see how that plays out. Mm-hmm. And he was right. There'll be a lot of easy free access throws if they play as they've been playing.
They've given up a lot of yards to receivers after contact, and I'm talking like 800. Mm-hmm. Like
they're not a dominant defense. No. They'll look the part and they can move around the part, but they have not been. It's not been an ass kicking defense.
Where they've been good is they're the second best team in the country in the red zone. Mm. Now that's
their deal. Bend but don't break. Yep. In the red zone, holding the field goals, and we try to outscore them. And if they get somewhat of a lead, they'll be very generic.
Okay,
and so it won't be like it'll be a little different.
This should be a close game.
I got Josh.
Absolutely.
Look at Josh.
He's in a little car out there.
Josh. Came up from Florida.
Yeah,
soccer must be over.
Must be.
He's in a child's car.
It's a little mini Jeep.
You don't see that often.
No.
No, you don't see grown men in children's cars.
Not very often. No.
There he is, though.
Yes.
Before we get to break,
he looks way too happy.
Yes, he does.
He's always happy.
He's always happy, though. See him coming on hour sleep, look just like that.
Yeah, that's true.
If you would like a chance to go to the game tomorrow, we have an opportunity for you.
Whoa.
Stop by the station. Luke is at the mill. Right by the mill, there's a table with a giveaway there. You put your name. There's a trivia question. I won't tell you what the trivia question is. You got to go up here to see it.
Okay.
Put your question. If you get it right, you'll be in the drawing. We're going to give two tickets away at noon and another two tickets away at 4 today.
Okay.
Noon and 4.
And also, we're going to give away a black jersey, which you might see tomorrow at the game. And we also have an online contest. If you go to the tickets, Facebook and Twitter pages, there's a separate contest specifically for the black jersey.
For these tickets, Jake, what's going at StubHub right now? What's the price to get in? But it's pretty
in the 80s at least, I bet.
It's a pretty expensive ticket.
Saving yourself some money there.
So, yeah, it's expensive. Yeah.
Please stop by the station, sign up for the tickets today.
What is going
noon
on?
Noon 4 p.m. Josh is outside. When we come back, FSPs is next on Early Break in the Ticket.